Samartasya Kartavya Shvabhila Shinam Yadakshobha Pralieta Tadasyat Paramam Padam Tadasya Kritrimodharmo Gnyatva Kartritva Lakshanam Yatasta Depsitam Sarvam Janati Chakaroti Cham Tamadhishta Tribhavena Swabhavam Avalokayan Mayama Mayvaste Yastasyeyam Kutriti Kutaha Nabhavo Bhavyatameti Nachatatrasya Murkhato Yatobhi yoga samsparshat tadasiditi nishchayaha Atasat kritrimam gnyayam saushupta paravatsada Natvevam smaryamalatvam tatatvam pratipadyate Avastha yugalam chatra karya kartritva shabditam Karya taksha hini tatra kartritvam punarakshayam Karyomukha prayatnoya kevalam sotra lupyate Tasmin lupte viluptosmi tyabhutha pratipadyate Natu yantar mukho bhava sarvajnyatva gunaspadam Tasya lopa kadachit syad anasya nupalampana Tasyopalabhi satatam tripadavya bhicharini Nityam syat suprabhudhasya tadanyante parasyatu Jnana gneya svarupinya shaktya paramaya yutam Padadvaye vibhurbhati tadanyatra tu chinmayaha Gunadispanda nishranda samanya spanda samshraya Labdhātmalābhāsatatam syurgnyasya paripantinaha Aprabhudhādiyastvete svastitistaganodhyatam Pātayanti virutāye ghore samsāra vartmani Atasatatam mudyukta spandatattva viviktaye Jagradeva nijambhavam achirnadhi gachati Atikrudha prahrishto va kim karomiti vamrshan Dhavanvayat padam gache tatra spanda pratishtitaha Yamavastam samalambhya yadayam mamavakshati Tadavashyam karishyeham iti sankalpya tishthati Tamashrityor dvamargena chandra surya upavapi Naushumne dvanyastamito hitva brahmanda gocharam Tadatasmin mahavyomni pralina shashi bhaskare Saushupta padavan mudha prabhudha syadanavrataha Tadakramya balam mantra sarvajnya balashalina प्रवर्तन्ते धिकाराय करणानि वदेहिनाम् तत्रैव सम्प्रलीयन्ते शान्तरूपा निरञ्जना सहारध कचित्तेन तेनैते शिवधर्मिनः यस्मात् सर्वमयो जीवात् सर्वभावात् समुद्भवा तत्संवेदनरूपेण तादात्म्य प्रतिपत्तितः तस्माच्छतार्थचिन्तासु न सावस्तानया शिवा भोक्तैव भोग्यभावेन सदा सर्वत्र संस्थितः इति वायस्य संवित्ति कृतात्वेन अखिलं जगात् सपश्यन् सततं युक्तो जीवन्मुक्तो न संशयः अयमेवोदयस्थस्य ध्येयस्य ध्यायी चेतसि तदात्मता समापतिरिचत साधकस्य इयमेवामृतप्राप्तिरयमेवात्मनोग्रह इयं निर्वाणदीक्षा च शिवसतावदायिनी यथेच्छाभ्यर्थितो दाता जाग्रतोर्तान् हृदि स्थितान् सोमसूर्योदयं कृत्वा सम्पादयति देहिनः तथा स्वप्नेभ्यभिष्टार्तान् प्रणयस्यानतिक्रमा नित्यं स्फुटतरं मध्ये.
Good evening, good afternoon, and thank you, Deb. So you were listening to the Spandakarikas being sung by actually an old student of mine who made this recording that with the idea that a regular person, a normal person, could chant along with it if we wanted to do that. And these verses are actually available, I just want to remind you, on the course website, on the private area of my website. So one of the big gifts of working with a text like this, aside from the fact that hopefully it gives us the capacity to sort of flow with the ups and downs of teleconferencing, one of the big gifts of studying this text, which offers such a profound transmission of truth, even when we aren't sure we understand it intellectually, and this is the thing that I've always loved about the Spanda teachings, is that on some level they connect to our experience. Even if we're not great scholars of the tradition, even if we don't speak Sanskrit, even if we're tuning in and tuning out. And one of the reasons for this, I want to say something that is kind of a mystical statement about the texts of the tantric tradition, especially the Kashmir Shaiva tantric tradition, is that a text like this, or actually getting to study a text like this, although certainly we make what feels like a conscious decision to come to this class or to study in this tradition, but the truth is that when it comes to tuning into an awakening teaching, it isn't really our choice. In other words, Spanda Shakti herself, in her awakening form, actually chooses us. So when we're studying the Spandakarikas, when we're doing these meditation practices, when we're inside this Sangham, there are certain experiences that are going to happen in a way that feels very natural. For instance, insights about the nature and meaning of your life, about the flow of where your life destiny is moving, all sorts of visions and shifts in awareness. So many people have been sharing experiences through the course of these few weeks. but also some, you know, actually really surprising recognitions that that often might seem to be coming from some place that you knew was there, but which for some reason you weren't in touch with. And the truth is that what we discover about the Spanda through these teachings is that the awakening power of Shakti flows through these teachings in a very specific way, because this text and the lineages behind it is a vehicle that she uses to keep our attention present with the continued awakening that everyone here is experiencing. So these teachings, which again have come down through various lineages, in Indian philosophy, in the Indian tradition, philosophy is called darshana, as many of you know. And darshana literally means seeing, in the sense of seeing the divine. So Indian philosophy, in other words, is not simply an intellectual matter. It's not simply for people who are really good at, you know, cognitively really smart. And this is particularly spoken of very specifically by Kshema Raja, the commentator on the Spandakarikas. These teachings aren't just for trained philosophers, trained intellectuals, trained scholars. They are specifically for people who are experiencing the awakening force of Spanda Shakti. The tendency of Spanda Shakti, which arises in every human being at some point in their evolution, according to the tradition, the awakening of that tendency of Shakti to show us oneness, to show us the reality of who we are, to, in other words, to open up the pathways that are going to lead us to greater and greater awakening. So the free will, as we were speaking last week, and as hopefully you were contemplating this week during the homework processes, the free will that draws us to practice is actually far beyond what we ordinarily call free will. In other words, it's beyond our individual desire to make ourselves feel better or to enhance ourselves by acquiring true knowledge. What's going on here, what makes you want to hear this, what makes you able to hear this in the deepest sense, not just hear it with your ears, but actually hear it with your heart, and what makes me want to enjoy the gift of getting to speak about it, which is an enormous privilege, what draws us is what one of my contemporary teacher friends calls the pull of self to self, the draw of the beloved who is seeking you, who is literally running after you, if you want to get really personal about it, holding on to you with the lasso that we see in the iconography of goddesses like Lalita and Bhuvaneshwari, literally lassoing you, to schlep you, to pull you towards the truth about yourself. So, you know, as Rumi says, it was he, not I. It was he knocking at the door. It was he from within. So following the will of the Shakti, learning how to tune in to what the will of the Shakti might be, learning to ask those questions like, what does Spanda, what does truth, what does goddess, what does the divine want for me now? In what way am I being led? Not as a continual process, you know, where you're walking down the street and you're going, okay, where should I go now? Where should I go now? But as an overall intention at the beginning of any action or at the beginning of the day or during a transition of any kind, to begin to ask that question and then feel into the way truth wants to move you, and learning the language that truth gives us for moving us, which, as we said earlier, is not necessarily in terms of words. It's not, you know, the voice that comes out of nowhere and tells you, go here. Often it's a feeling, you know, just a pull, a draw that's very kinesthetic. So tuning into her truly consistent presence gives us the power to let go of the smaller pulls of the addictive habits that Aaron asked about last week, the distractions, which we all have, so that we can feel more and more deeply this deeper longing that's pulling us home. And then at a certain point, you find her, even in the midst of the greatest distractions, you know, when within pain, within, you know, wild attraction that you just can't see past, because instead of being out of sight, that pulsation is actually revealing herself to you more and more clearly. I just got a letter, a real snail mail letter, from a 22-year-old girl in Indiana who had read Awakening Shakti, my book, and she wrote that she had been in rehab in her teens. She was from a troubled family, and that now she's in college, and that she's been working with her painful family issues and with her addictions and with her feeling of unhappiness. And then about a year ago, she went to a music festival and heard a band, which I'd never heard of, but a band that's apparently, a spiritual band. I think they're involved with the teachings of Yogananda or of Yogi Bhajan, one of the Indian gurus. And the lyrics totally opened up a connection to her heart. And as she was listening to the song, she had a realization that the words of the song, which said something about her as being a child of light, that they were true. And this started her on a path. So for the last year, she's been meditating. She's been doing well in school. She's not engaging in the addictive behaviors to anything like the extent she was. And she started reading spiritual books, one of which was Awakening Shakti. So I love this story because, as many of you know, it's such a typical story, you know, and I don't mean that in the sense that it's banal, but that it's the way it works, you know. Shakti comes to you through a song, and in that moment, maybe you think it's the song, but actually it's not. It's the draw of Spanda Shakti wanting to awaken you. Today we're going to talk about verses 19, 20, and 21, which are all the verses are great, but these are some of the greatest verses. We're going to begin by chanting the Bij Mantras of the goddess. Om Aim Hrim Klim Chamundaye Viche Swaha. Invoking the primal vibration, invoking inspiration, the power of manifestation, the power of divine joy and pleasure, invoking that one who cuts our obstacles, offering ourselves into the action of the Spanda. We'll chant these mantras 5 times, and then we'll chant the first verse of the Spandakarikas 3 times. You can find yourself a posture, a beautiful, upright, Spanda vibrating posture in which you really allow the inhalation to ground your body through the hips and thighs, through the sits bones. And then you let the exhalation move slowly upwards, creating a little bit of space between each one of your vertebrae as the breath moves. Just let the inhalation ground and the exhalation lift a couple of times. And feel the enormous pleasure there is in surrendering to that moment when you take a posture, when you let the breath put you into a posture, signaling to your body mind that you're ready to turn inside. And then with the next inhalation, feel the shoulder blades melting down the back, the chest lifting and opening. Feel the breath as she flows. Breath is Spanda. We praise that Shankara, who is the source of the power of the wheel of Shaktis, by whose expansion and contraction the universe is absorbed and comes into being. Yasyonme shanime shapyam jagata pralayodayau tam shakti chakra vibhava Parabhavam Shankaram Stumaha. Yasyon Mesha Nimeshabhyam Jagata Pralayo Dayao Tam Shakti Chakra Vibhava Parabhavam Shankaram Stumaha. Yasyon Mesha Nimeshabhyam Jagata Pralayo Dayao Tam Shakti Chakra Vibhava Parabhavam Shankaram Stumaha. Om Aim Hrim Klim Chamundaye Viche Swaha. I'm going to go up a little bit because I know I'm chanting in too low a note for many of you. Om Aim Hrim Klim Chamundaye Viche Swaha. 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 So as you allow the breath to flow in and flow out, have the feeling that with each inflow of breath, soft energy is flowing into the front of the body, as though the front of the body is porous, and the breath is subtle light energy. Feel the front of the body opening to receive and literally mingle its particles with the particles of breath. Feel the breath being drawn in as subtle energy through the whole back body. Find the sensation at the edge of what we ordinarily think of as the skin boundary, the apparent physical boundary between my body and outside my body. And as you sense the breath as a subtle, transparent, translucent force field, life field that is breathing through those apparent boundaries, recognizing that the breath is made of subtle energy, the physical body of somewhat denser energy. But the breath and the body are not different in kind. The breath and the body are both somewhat different frequencies of one single energy. And feel how as the breath moves through the body from the front, from the back, and then through all sides of the body, feel how it dissolves part of the body's density with the inhalation and then takes back some of the body's density with the exhalation. See if you can feel the subtle, soft pulse of breath, moving from the space in front and behind through the relative density of the body, but dissolving that density and replacing it with a feeling of the luminous subtlety, the transparent, translucent quality of breath. Recognize that the sense of boundary at the edge of this apparent body is actually made of thought. This sense of my body and outside my body is created by ideas that we have become very accustomed to holding and believing. So see if you can tune in purely to the sensation of breath flowing through this space that you ordinarily experience as body. See if you can notice how, along with the flow of breath and the sensation of breath touching and dissolving the space inside the body, you may also begin to feel that the breath is flowing as particles of light, and that the light particles inside the breath are also mirrored inside the body. Perhaps you can feel as though the flow of breath moves from the space in front to the space behind, passing through the increasingly subtle space in the middle, the space that you might call your body. Breath as light flowing from in front through the space of body into the space behind, and see if, as the breath flows, you can also start to recognize that thoughts, moods, other sensations, sounds, are also arising and dissolving into space. Breath arises and subsides in space, thoughts, sensations, moods, sounds arise and subside in this one space, each of them at their heart, at their core, an expression of that pulsing presence we call Spanda. Spanda vibrating at a faster frequency in those parts of the body that feel dense. At a slower, lighter frequency in those parts of the body that feel open. And wherever there is resistance or a feeling of density or a thought that wants to stick, just see if very gently and sweetly you can allow the spacious presence inside the breath to invite that resistance, the energy inside that resistance, to just open, let go a little. One of the most perceptive writers on this subject said once that the two ways that you can most immediately distinguish the presence of Spanda in your ordinary experience is through the sense of spaciousness, which we are invoking in this meditation, and also through the sense of chaos, which is kind of an interesting idea. The idea that chaos, a situation of intense chaos, literally feeling swept up in confusion, that swirl where events are out of control, your mind can't figure out what to do, that this is actually an opportunity to discern Spanda, which is intensely present in chaos, as we'll talk about next week. And of course, in an intense wind or a storm, or it's kind of easy to feel that intense energy. I'm also finding it very much in the elections, the American elections, which is boiling up in such a chaotic and disruptive way, as such a sense of an urgency to upset the status quo, to create something new, something different, to upend the system. You know, this momentum inside the insurgencies that are going on in the two major parties is actually, if you really look into it, a very clear expression of the throb of Spanda. So if you ignore the content while you're watching the news or reading the paper or noticing the intensity of certain reactions that may arise in you or in other people, to see if you can feel that way in which Spanda is so palpably giving us an experience of herself, dancing in the midst of chaos. So this constant ability that we are learning to recognize inside our personal experience that this primal creative principle is at play, to receive the recognition that Spanda wants to kindle in us as we stop, create some space, and let her recognize us, let her self-recognize through us, because it is she who's self-recognizing. And before I read the verses, I just want to take a moment to just speak these words that describe the primal force, in case any of you are tuning into this class for the first time. A couple of people are joining us now for the first time. So Spanda Shakti is that dynamic, eternally creative pulsation, that shimmer of awareness and possibility, that arises within the stillness of the ultimate that allows that vast transcendent consciousness to playfully transform itself into everything that we know and everything that we are as individuals and as a collective. So she's expressing herself in us as the ability to be aware, to feel, and to know, as well, of course, as all the currents of energy inside what we call our body and breath and in the physical world. She's expressing herself as aliveness itself in a continuum, an unbroken continuum that runs from the infinitely subtle, transcendent spaciousness we call Shiva Shakti or Sat Chit Ananda, being consciousness bliss, all the way through the subtle levels, layers of experience into what we experience as material density, the hardness of objects and situations that we bump into, and in our own inner emotional experience. And this text draws us again and again to recognizing what it is that's at the heart of everything. So here are the verses, 19, 20, and 21. I'm going to read one of the English translations. Here is verse 19. The streams of pulsations, meaning the streams of spanda, the streams of pulsations of the qualities, the Sanskrit word is gunas, and I promised we were going to talk about the gunas. This is the class when we're going to talk about the gunas. The streams of pulsation of the gunas are grounded in the universal vibration, the spanda, and so attain existence. Therefore, this is really important, the gunas, the pulsations of moods, thoughts, energies, events, can never obstruct the enlightened tantrika. That is, they can never obstruct the one who is fully in touch with the spacious source of her own awareness. So the text here is saying that what enlightened means, what enlightenment means, and you know there are many descriptions of it, of enlightenment, what enlightenment means is being aware of the pulse of spanda in ourselves and consequently being able to see through the apparent otherness of the world to the spanda at the heart of it. And we'll return to this in a moment. And of course, we'll return to some of the skillful methods that the tantras give us for really seeing into that. So verse 20 says, yet, for those whose intuition slumbers, the word here is buddhi, which literally means the higher intellect here. So for those whose intuition slumbers, these gunas and other principles like egoity or thought formation and all, you know, and the other experiences that, you know, we feel as our genetic heritage and conditioning, et cetera, et cetera. These pulsations ruled by the gunas are intent on disrupting the abiding state of being, casting them, that is to say, the one whose intuition slumbers, casting them down into the terrible path of samsara, the end of eternal recurring life that is so difficult to cross. So samsara we're going to look at during the homework period this week, but the word samsara, as many of you know, in Sanskrit means wandering. And in the system of the East, the wandering is believed to be the wandering through many bodies, through many lives. But I would say that we can experience samsara right in this life without believing in transmigration, simply by observing the way in which the mind and senses wander. No matter how much we want to be undistracted, no matter how much we want to be on the path of freedom, there's this quality in us, which is really the play of the gunas, as we'll see, which keeps us moving, which keeps us cycling through moods, through the cycles of our of success and failure, of growth, sustenance and decay. And that to escape from that cycle, and by escape from that cycle, what I really mean is to be fully present in the moment, in what Eckhart Tolle and so many sages have called the now, the here and now, to escape that cycle and to be fully present in the moment with reality as it is right now, with no agendas, is hard. So finally, verse 21, which I do feel is the fundamental instruction for sadhana, for practice of the Spandakarikas. And if you take nothing from this class, please take this. Therefore, one who strives constantly to discern the Spanda principle rapidly attains his own true being, even in the waking state, meaning in ordinary life, in a very short time. Therefore, one who strives constantly to discern the Spanda principle rapidly attains her own true being, even in the waking state, in a very short time. So even when we're in that state where we feel that this is a body and I am in here and everything else is out there, when we start to discern the Spanda principle, we are able to recognize the self, the being, as that non-locational quality of being that is inside and outside, that is present behind thought and within thought, that's present in the touch of the air, that's present in the flow of traffic, that's present in the moments when we get lost, and which is that principle that finds us when we're lost. So we're going to begin in a few minutes to tune into that Spanda once again in meditation. Before we do that, I want to share a take on the Spanda, which I find, which I've been finding interesting because it draws on the understanding of contemporary physics, of sound research, of, you know, our understanding of energy as vibration. So, as we know, the idea behind Spanda, and it's in all the mystical traditions, is that everything in this universe is vibrating. It's energy, and everything in manifest creation has its own vibrational rate. It's a, you know, of course, a truism of New Age culture. It vibrates at a frequency and amplitude that varies in both speed and power. And the mystical traditions say that the variations actually depend on how closely identified a particular individual entity is with the great awareness bliss. So frequency refers to the number of cycles that a vibrating wave makes in a certain length of time. In other words, if we're talking about the ocean, there are certain waves that come and go very quickly. They come and go very frequently. You know, the little wavelets are moving. They're kind of constantly moving. Amplitude refers to the height and depth of the cycle or the wave. And again, using the ocean as an example, the tendency is for the frequent waves, you know, the little currents and wavelets, to have lower amplitude. In other words, they're not as high, they're not as wide, and they don't have as much power. They're smaller and shorter and less powerful. Whereas the bigger waves, the higher waves, come in less frequently, but they have, you know, but they're bigger, they're higher, they're wider, and they have more power. As you know, a little ocean wave just sort of laps against your feet. A big ocean wave can knock you down. So, and it's really the same with our energy field. Our physical bodies actually vibrate at a high, fast frequency, which means that the energy waves that make up a body or a rock, are higher and closer together. The rock's energy waves are higher and closer together, faster and closer together, than the and the human body's frequency waves. And they also have less power, and by power we mean power to transform, power, a power in the sense of freedom. So, and in the same way, a mind that's filled with a lot of thoughts and strong emotions, breath coming quickly and rapidly, is vibrating with a high frequency. That is, it's moving very fast. And of course, when we're rushed or stressed, the waves of the mind and the waves of the breath get faster and closer together, such that we can't really even sometimes discern the difference between one thought and another. So the higher the rate of thinking, the higher the rate of breathing, the faster the rate of thinking, the faster the rate of breathing, the less power there is, the less ability there is to tune into the much slower frequency of the subtler realms. This, of course, is very obvious in breathing. When the breath slows down, when the breathing actually begins to just become longer and slower, we tune into the less frequent waves of the breath, that's when we begin to be able to sense the source of the breath. And similarly, as thoughts slow down, the frequency of thoughts slows down, we're able to sense the underlying power of the source. And this understanding about faster, more frequent waves makes less power. Slower, less frequent waves make more power. This is one of the great discoveries at the basis of meditation, because as the breath slows, as the thought waves slow, we begin more and more to experience the source of breath and the source of thought, and to be empowered from the source, which is why when you have a problem or a question, if you can stop thinking about it and just let the breath come slow and tune into the space between the breath or the space that you can begin to discern behind thoughts or within thoughts, then the intuition, the wisdom, the love, the incredible power of Spanda Shakti becomes available to you. So we're going to do one of the classic practices for tuning into that, for just kind of looking into the space in the mind, the space between thoughts, the place where the frequency of Spanda as thinking begins to slow down and to reveal the underlying pulsation from which thoughts arise. You know, our understanding about the mind as about the body, as about the breath, is that at the source of breath, at the source of thought, is an open doorway into Spanda Shakti herself and all of her power. So you can let your body align itself along this vertical axis between the base of the spine and the crown of the head, inhaling, grounding through the base, and exhaling and letting the spinal column elongate upwards. And as always in tuning to Spanda, it's a very good idea to just open yourself in this moment to the sense of the sounds. Just allowing the sounds, including the sound of my voice, to be felt inside the space of your awareness without necessarily labeling it, just hearing. See if you can let go of the tendency to categorize sound, to label it, This is a voice. This is sounds from the street. This is my throat gurgling. Just let the sounds be present. Similarly, be aware of sensations. The whole flow of sensation in the body, including the sensation of breath. And become aware of the flow of thoughts. Now into the flow of thoughts, please introduce the thought, I am. That thought, I am, which is actually the articulate form of the pulsation, that pure awareness is constantly sounding or knowing that in the most transcendent state of awareness, there is this experience of I am, I exist, and our verbal form of I am connects us completely to that primal vibration. So it's a very powerful mantra in itself. But for now, I'd just like to ask you to say these two syllables kind of deliberately in the mind. Noticing that for some of you, the sound of I am may also naturally coordinate with this sense of the pulsation of the heartbeat or of the breath. Or just may appear as thoughts that you're focusing on. Now, the next time you think I am, at the end of am, move your attention backwards and see if you can find the space between I and am. Can you find the space between I and am? Can you let your awareness be present there? And if you lose it, go back to saying, I am. And then imagine your attention flowing back to the space between I and am. Other thoughts will come up. When other thoughts come up, come back to I am. See if you can begin to notice how when you let yourself tune into the space between I and am, you can begin to be aware of this pulsing field that is present in between and behind the actual formed thoughts of these words. So I am, I arises out of this field of pulsation which is called mind, but which is actually the pulsing field of Spanda taking form as your mind, and then dissolves back into that field and Am arises, and then dissolves back into that field. I Am is the individuated form of Spanda Shakti, and when that individuated form, the thought I Am, forms in the mind, it particularizes the experience of mind energy. But as you turn back into the space between Am and I, if you turn backwards, you begin to notice that the field out of which those words are arising is simply a subtle pulsing spaciousness. It's mind space itself. And within it, thoughts arise. And into it, thoughts subside. Now see if you can become present to that even subtler level of mind that is aware of thoughts arising and subsiding. See if you can let yourself be present to that awareness, that knowing quality. The streams of vibrating energy, literally, the streams of vibration that manifest as the gunas, as thoughts, and everything else that we experience are grounded in the universal vibration of pure awareness, pure spanda. Therefore, none of the experiences that might arise in the mind or body can obstruct the enlightened person's recognition of spanda, of this field of awareness, vibrating with sentience, within which all experiences arise. Simply because the more you're in touch with that underlying awareness, the more you recognize that that underlying awareness is yourself, is the one self that cannot change or become affected by experience, but is always simply present, holding, knowing, let's say, experiencing the ever-changing flow. Then there's no way that you're out of touch with Spanda. I want to talk a little bit about the gunas, the qualities of nature, and I'm going to talk about them in a kind of a scriptural way. And maybe as we talk about them, you can apply this paradigm to what's going on in your attention and your awareness now. The gunas, which we usually translate as qualities. It's one of those untranslatable words. Are the subtle energies that create the individual character of every moment, of every thing, of every creature, of every place, and of the subtleties of mood and thought. So the gunas are literally threads of Spanda Shakti that are woven together. The great image that's given is of a rope, an intertwined rope. I like the thought of a tapestry. And these energies together comprise the great matrix within which reality is held. And that matrix is called in Sanskrit Prakriti. Prakriti means primordial maker or primordial doer. And we usually translate it as nature, as in Mother Nature. But in our ordinary experience, in your ordinary experience, the most immediate way to experience Prakriti is really to look at your own mind. In other words, the mind field that we've just been tuning into is actually a kind of an undulating mass of awareness stuff. And yet, this undulating field that we call mind is constantly filled with shifting and changing moods and currents that are experienced as thoughts and energies and waves of feeling. So that is the way we individually experience Prakriti. And this is the kind of subtle point that Prakriti, and just like our mind stuff, which is the individual form of Prakriti, cosmically, is the form that the great primordial Spanda, the transcendent Spanda, takes once she has drawn the veil of Maya, of otherness, between herself and Shiva. You remember that Shiva and Shakti are, from a transcendent point of view, never separate. But in order to manifest reality, Shakti creates the impression of separation between the creative bliss energy and the energy of pure awareness. And that in this veiling process, there is an immediate and very powerful experience of being separate from the source. That is the first stage of all manifestation. So as Shakti moves towards manifestation, she takes this form of the great matrix field of creativity, because Prakriti really, it means creativity, just as your mind is infinitely creative. And in tantric practice, the understanding is that if you really allow yourself to tune into that subtle field of mind, your own mind will first of all reveal itself to be the matrix of all experience, and then it will very subtly, very, very gently and subtly merge back into its source, so that what you first experience as a mind, you know, filled with thoughts and emotions, then becomes quieter and stiller and subtler, and then mind becomes the infinite expanse of awareness, and you begin to experience yourself as vast consciousness, not just a limited mind at all. So at the level of mind, the level that we experience Prakriti as our own mind filled with thoughts and emotions, the experience of Shiva, the experience of pure awareness, is experienced by you and I as the witness, as that part of us which can stand aside from experience and be the observer. And that's why in so many traditions, the state of awakening is considered to be the realization that you, as the witness consciousness, can separate yourself from identifying with the body, with the thoughts, with sounds, with emotions, with the outside world, and be free, be a pure observing witness. And in this witness state, which is one of the early stages of awakening, you can experience the play of your life and your thoughts with a kind of freedom that comes from recognizing that you're not identified with all your ideas about yourself and your family life and your problems and your goals and your physical body, that there is that which is free of it, which is your true self. But what the tantrikas say is that in that state where we're able to experience ourselves as the witnessing awareness, we're still unaware of our true oneness with the source, because our consciousness, that witness consciousness, is still limited. It's still experienced as being kind of inside the body, inside the head. So Prakriti is the matrix, the subtle matrix, out of which on a cosmic level everything in the world, from the planets, stars, and atmospheres to our ego, our thoughts, and our physical bodies, everything is made of Prakriti, comes out of Prakriti, is held in Prakriti. And the experiences that some of you have been sharing with me of geometric grids woven of light, you know, this vision of a light grid is actually a vision of Prakriti, which appears as a kind of a grid or net of interlocking strands that are the strands of the gunas, and don't worry, I'm going to go into them in a minute. Though the Prakriti and the gunas sometimes appear as a whirling, dancing vortex of light, which is how I sometimes experience it. You know, my first vision of this was of an upward moving vortex made of blue, red, and white light that wove and danced, constantly moving upwards, and that as my witnessing consciousness watched it, I experienced the most powerful ecstasy I had ever experienced, and I somehow knew that this is what it feels like to be Shakti, taking the form of this force called Prakriti, dancing as the experience of the physical and subtle worlds. And the thing that I realized as I watched this whirling light vortex was that it wasn't going to stop. So at a certain point, my small self experiencer went, okay, this is really ecstatic, but it's enough. You know, okay, I get it, I can stop, but it wouldn't stop. It didn't stop. And I realized that then I saw that this light form was rising up into a vast blue spaciousness, and at the top of it was this enormous golden sun. And some of you will recognize this as a you know, very classic upper chakra Sahasrara experience. But what it felt like was that if I could allow myself, I would be drawn into this vortex and up into this vast light and would dissolve into it. And I really became aware of enormous fear as the possibility of my individual self merging into the light arose. It's the ego's fear of losing itself, which little by little, as we have such experiences, begins to be eroded. But at that moment, I very deliberately allowed my consciousness to, in a sense, take refuge in being the observer, the small self witnessing consciousness, and I could, so that I could watch the dance without becoming completely merged in it. You know, and it's one of the experiences that we can begin to have at certain stages in our awakening, that we can separate ourselves from thoughts and ideas and pain in the body. We're in an altered state, but we still remain separate from the dance of the awakening Shakti, which wants to take us into the highest light. But I did come out of that vision with a conviction that what I was seeing was the ecstatic movement that's behind reality, this dance of light. And those strands that I saw making up the vortex or the tapestry or the grid are woven of these three qualities called the gunas, which every single aspect of the known world and even much of what we don't actually know is made of the gunas. In other words, there is nothing in observable, knowable reality which is not made of gunas. So the subtlest of the gunas or the qualities is known as sattva. And sattva here means purity or truth, the quality of truthfulness or pure beingness, but not absolute beingness. Simply the peaceful sense of beingness and contentment that we experience when we're inside Prakriti, when we're living our lives inside the play of the gunas. So the color of sattva is white, and it's associated with the feeling of happiness, of peace, of harmony, of transparency, of softness, of subtlety, and especially purity, the feeling of unadulterated purity. Now the tantras will tell you that actually nothing is really pure except pure consciousness itself, but in our ordinary experience, most of us, when we feel that deep happiness, are in touch with sattva guna. And as you probably know, our popular image of what is spiritual or what is good energy, let's call it that, you know, pure energy, light energy, is really an experience of sattva guna. And we'll say more about that in a minute. So if you just want to take a moment and look into your own mind and see how you experience sattva guna. And, you know, for me, it's very often the experience I'll have on a really good day when I've had a good meditation and I'm feeling quite light and, you know, I'm seeing with a, you know, kind of a pure intellect. I can make choices without worrying too much about it. The world looks very beautiful when I'm with people. I can feel the beauty of their humanity. There's not a lot of worry or agitation. And I call that being in a good state. Maybe you know what I mean. So the second quality of the second guna is called Rajas guna, and Rajas means agitated or passionate, and it's associated with the very active qualities like desire, ordinary desire, ambition, passion, lust, greediness, neediness, the capacity to work very hard, you know, that kind of workaholic vibration that some of us get into is really an expression of Rajas Guna. Rajas Guna is very much the quality of life in the city. Its color is red, and you're in Rajas Guna when you're really feeling driven towards a certain outcome. When you're in some form of compulsive activity or behavior, I don't think there's one of us who doesn't know that state, that experience. I call it the inertia of movement. You're in busyness. You're answering your emails, you're talking on the phone, you're doing your work, you're multitasking, but there's an undercurrent of anxiety or fear or needing the outcome to be a certain way in order to be happy with yourself. The third guna is tamas, which is associated with dullness, sleepiness, extreme density. Matter itself is said to be mostly tamasic. But tamas also has positive associations. It's restful. it's grounded. And of course, without Thomas, we wouldn't have a material world. Thomas's color is dark blue or black. And what the texts tell us is that in life, the gunas are constantly weaving themselves, just as they are in the grid vision or in my dancing vortex vision, in different combinations to form the elements of the physical universe, as well as our own psyches and our own thoughts and moods and energies. So the essential thing about the gunas is that they're never at rest. They're always shifting. So, you know, that in other words, all the experience of change in this world is the combination of the three gunas constantly shifting. All of them are necessary for the weaving of reality. And so from the Shakti's point of view, there is no such thing as a bad guna. They're all, you know, completely a part of reality. And if you're familiar with goddess practice, you might realize that of the three goddesses, that the three primal goddesses of the Indian system, you know, who for our purposes here we'll call Saraswati, Lakshmi, and Kali, that traditionally Saraswati is associated with Sattvaguna because she's very, very light and pure and associated with, you know, higher thoughts, inspiration. Lakshmi is associated with Rajaguna because she manifests as everything that desire and craving want. You know, she's wealth, she's success, she's the carrot that lures us into life. And Kali is associated with Tamas, with the dissolution of forms into the void. And what you see if you think of the gunas as goddesses is that each one of them has their own divine quality. So in our own awareness, once we start to look into the signature energies of sattva, rajas, and tamas in our thoughts, in our moods, in our weather, you know, in really in everything, we start to see that there are neighborhoods which seem sattvic, very quiet and pure. There are neighborhoods which are super rajasic, super active. There are neighborhoods which feel like they're in a state of decay. They're very tamasic. And there are people who seem to be extremely sattvic, very pure. Sometimes they're kind of boring because there's very little movement. You know, it's extremely peaceful to be around them. But if you're interested in variety and movement and change, you may not want to spend too much time with very sattvic people. Rajasic people, which is actually most human beings, are the ones whose minds work very fast and who are striving, very active, active in ways that can be fascinating and interesting, and also in ways that can be enormously anxiety-producing. You know, being in a busy airport or watching the stock exchange ticker or trying to solve a problem that you're very anxious about. These are all experiences of Rajas Guna as well, and the expression of desire, passion, and intense sexuality are also considered to be qualities of Rajas Guna, although they can obviously take on the qualities of the other gunas. Tamas Guna is psychologically associated with sleep, with dullness, and with entropy, with the kind of running down of systems. And it, you know, to feel really tamasic, just think about a time when you were feeling extremely sick, you couldn't get out of bed, or when your life feels stuck and you can't find a way to move out of it. And also of the very deep states of meditation where there are no thoughts, but it's kind of dull. You know, you're kind of out. And what we understand about tamas in meditation is that it's also a state of deep rest. So just as the body needs sleep in order to live, a meditator also needs to be able to enter those states of deep rest. They're not They're not wrong. They're not bad. They're a natural part of the cycling of the gunas. So, and I want to suggest that since everything that we experience in life is made of different combinations of gunas, the Indian texts of spirituality, for example, Ayurveda, divide everything into its gunas. So there's different kinds of food that are considered sattvic. Milk is considered a sattvic food. There's foods that are considered rajasic. Onions and garlic in the Indian system are considered to be stimulating foods. The different spices are considered stimulating. And foods that are considered tamasic, and meat is generally considered to be tamasic because it's, you know, it's dead. It's not alive. And, you know, in a balanced system, all of these foods, just as all of these moods, are necessary and important. And at the same time, you know, our goal is not to be constantly spun around on the gunas without consciousness, but to really begin to become aware of the movement of the gunas. And one of the very interesting chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, it's actually chapters 16 and 17, tell us that everything we say and do is characterized by one of the gunas. And so the same activity, the same emotion can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic, depending on which of the guna is predominant. And your motives, for example, your emotional attachments, they can have the quality of the gunas. And this is just a very interesting thing to see in yourself. So, for instance, feelings of love can be sattvic, which means that they're fairly free of clinging or attachment. So I find that, you know, that certain friendships have, you know, the love that arises in certain friendships has a very sattvic feeling. Or when you watch your baby sleeping, you can feel this very pure love for that child. And in those moments, your love is without subtle bargaining, which is without the feeling, the need to be loved back. When that, you know, it would be kind of soft tenderness. Love can also be rajasic, which makes it volatile, emotional, full of ups and downs. There's neediness in it. You're afraid of losing the person. You know, you're very attached to when I can remember my most rajasic periods when I was in my teens and early 20s. The thought of losing my loved one was, you know, I feel like I was going to die. Whereas tamasic love would be addictive or obsessive or highly possessive, or would be the kind of love hate relationship in which your love is constantly turning into anger. So there's desperately clinging quality and a possibility of violence. And also tamasic quality in love or in a relationship can include the kind of stability that is just so boring that the relationship has no life. And if you look at your relationships, for example, you'll see that in every relationship that there's a constant interplay between these three forces in your feelings. Sometimes it feels very pure. Sometimes it's extremely intense and emotional. Or, you know, there's a feeling of, you know, in order to feel loved, the person has to act like this towards me because rajasic feelings always want something in return. Or it can just be tamasic, you know, filled with anger, even violent anger, or the desire to reject, or just complete boredom. And in the same way, in our moods, and this is a really important thing to understand in spiritual life, and is really why we're talking about this, none of your states are going to be permanent. The only aspect of your inner world that is really, so to speak, permanent is the awareness that holds all of this, the subtle infinitely subtle field of knowingness within which all moods are contained. And this is a really important thing to understand when you're doing practice, because at one moment you will feel inspired and light and happy, sattvic guna. At another minute you might feel depressed and dull, tamas guna. Or your mind might be very agitated and full of anxiety, rajas guna. And if you sit in meditation and notice the play of, you know, of thoughts and feelings in the mind, what you'll probably see is that there is this constant process of change. It's why we say sometimes I had a good meditation, I had a bad meditation. And it's why it's so helpful when you're practicing to sit for long enough to be able to see the play of thoughts and feelings, to see how the gunas succeed each other in your awareness. And, you know, to realize that as we become more skillful in meditation, we often become able to enter sattvic states, which feel better for most of us. We're able to enter sattvic states at will. But nonetheless, we see that because a sattvic state is always going to dissolve at some point because the gunas are ever-changing, you can never hold on to a good state. It's always going to change. And it's when you become more and more aware of the eternally changing quality of the gunas, these streams of pulsation that manifest as the gunas, how they're constantly succeeding each other in your body-mind, that's when you begin to realize that the only way to realization, enlightenment, is to really become present to the underlying field of spanda, which is the source of them. So what verse 19 says in part is that to be awake, or to have an awake intellect, is to be able to stay aware that all of our feelings and states, our pure ones, our desire-filled ones, our irritable ones, our dull ones, are just streams and currents of shakti, spanda, vibrating, and are not me, because what me is the underlying field of knowingness that is the source, spanda. And as you start to be able to tune into that, to be present, to discern the presence of spanda flowing as thoughts and feelings and actions, but also to be aware of the source that thoughts and feelings and actions flow from, that's when you can allow your life to be lived spontaneously without identifying with your actions, and you begin to become free even in the midst of rushing a moment emotions, as well as in the midst of external events. And really, most of the practices we do, which can be practices of inquiry, practices of finding the space between breaths, the space between thoughts, practices we've been doing of tuning into the allowing the breath to open up our sense of the body as dense and separate, and to begin to literally allow the awareness to expand through the body. All of these are ways to begin to become familiar with and recognize that underlying presence, presence being one of the words, one of the beautiful words of the Spanda tradition. And, you know, in practice, we keep having the intention to tune into it again and again, over and over again, until it becomes so much a part of our experience that we know to turn to it. So that's what the teachings do. They point out its presence, and they point out the practice that can allow us to tune into that intuitive awareness that can actually break through the fog of mental concepts. to the point where we can do it in ordinary moments. And for most of us, when we get really, you know, kind of start to get creative with our practice, one of the things we start to know how to do is the kind of self-inquiry in which we can spontaneously ask Spanda, ask Shakti to reveal her presence to us in situations that ordinarily seem difficult. For instance, that practice we did last week of asking, is there any love present? It's actually a practice designed to let us tune in to the underlying tenderness, the love quality in the Spanda Shakti. I want to share with you one of my experiences that really kind of turned around my willingness to recognize that Spanda is never not there. Even for people like ourselves who've done a lot of practice, the tendency towards separating ourselves from the source is so present that it actually takes a lot of willingness to turn back towards the source, to get us in the habit of seeing what's already there, what we already are, what we always already are. So in this particular moment, this was about 20 years ago, I was feeling kind of cut off and separate. And in that space, I was thinking, as we often do, you know, I don't think I really know what God is. I don't know what, you know, that ultimate source is. And so I just turned inside and I asked just into the, you know, into the presence, whoever's there, whatever there is, I asked, how can I know God? As many of you have, inquiry like this is really one of the most powerful ways there is to get a sense of where the source of wisdom is. So a few minutes after I asked this question, this feeling of, it was like a big, oh my God, not oh my God as oh my God in a devotional way, but kind of like, oh yes, it's this, just arose inside me. And the this that I was experiencing that was showing itself to me was the felt sense of presence around my body, inside my mind, that felt experience of being that, you know, we so often overlook, and certainly I often overlooked it in those days, this feeling of I exist, I'm here, you know, this I am-ness. And what came in answer to my inquiry was that this pure presence awareness that I often experienced and that all of you often experience is God, is the absolute. It was so wild because it's such a you know, real and palpable and I don't want to say ordinary experience, but for many of us, it actually is quite normal, you know, that's, especially if you've done a lot of spiritual practice, there's just this, let's say, peaceful knowingness that is very familiar when you let yourself tune into it. And one of the reasons that in the course, the first week, I asked you guys to spend time every day imagining that the world, that you were being seen, that, you know, that the trees or the sky or the buildings are seeing you, is because this is a way of becoming aware of that presence which is there for us, which is the God self, which is the Spanda principle that is always there, even when we're being completely deluded by the thoughts and feelings and experiences that pull us away from recognition of that peaceful source. And I mean peaceful, not in the sense of Satmaguna, but peaceful in the sense of being that unchanging presence. For most of us, the so-called direct route to finding the Spunda principle is to learn how to recognize ourselves as awareness or consciousness. But for some of us, the most powerful and direct route is in moments of love. For others, and I know several of you have mentioned this to me, it's when we start to tune into the constant pulsing of subtle energy inside our body-mind. That is, that becomes very present, for instance, when Kundalini Shakti is awakened, as it is for many of you. She shows herself to us as this kind of vibratory quality in experience that is very, very palpable way that Spunda directly reveals herself and is also a doorway into the Spunda Shakti. But in the classical practice that is actually one of the classical practices of the Spunda tradition, the tantric tradition, there are a couple of stages to this practice. And in the first stage, let's say stage one, we turn in and we learn to recognize what it feels like to be in touch with that pure I, that pure presence, and which is often a felt sense of just awareness or of expansion or of love, this feeling of that, you know, that loveness, just or just the pure sense of being. What we tuned into, what I discussed in the early part of the class, as the I am, the pure I am. Most introverted meditation techniques are meant to put us in touch with that presence or to help us clear the field of the mind in order to make it possible to discern that thread of awareness that's always present. And once we have a sense of what that beingness, that Spunda principle feels like, then we can practice returning to it as much as possible while we're awake or functioning or walking around. And I know that for me, in my early days of practice, the most immediate way for me to find that sense of the thread of pure being was actually to tune into the energy, the vibration of Shakti in my heart. And I know that for many of you, that's the experience also. As time has gone on, my tendency is to tune into it as awareing, as to kind of pull back and ask myself a question like, is my awareness in this room, or is this room inside my awareness, or what is that that knows I'm having this experience, or just tuning into the felt sense of being that has no location. And as we become more and more confident in this, and that through the practices that Sutra, that verse 21 points to, if we constantly intend to look for the Spunda, to discern the Spunda, to ask ourselves just a simple question, where is Spunda? How can I find that pulsation of pure being right now? As we become more confident of it and present in it, then we do in fact discover that it really doesn't go away. It's the one thing that doesn't go away. We come to truly get that it's me. And sooner or later, and again, I'm getting notes from many of you, you start to recognize that this awareness, presence, Spunda, you know, there's so many words for it, pure being, self, is actually the primary experiencer, is we get that it's me. And then when we get zapped by a bad mood, or you know, when we have one of those meditations which is just nothing but worry and anxiety, you know, or when our lover leaves us or something terrible happens to us physically, we recognize that this is a phenomenon that gripping as it is, because the streams of pulsations of the gunas are very alluring, nonetheless, we can start to recognize that this is literally arising and subsiding within awareness. And here's the thing that to me is just a constant miracle, that as we stay more and more in that intention to discern the presence of Spanda, as this becomes more and more of our intention and our practice, we do start to recognize that the awareness, pulsing beingness that we've been touching into is actually layered through our bodies. And then we begin to see that, to recognize, to experience that same awareness presence is layered through the so-called outer world. You know, it's the same consciousness appearing in you as in me. It's the same life force pulsing in the trees. It's actually the Spanda Shakti in a particularly rajasic form that is flipping out on the street corner when, you know, on a New York street corner, which is to me the epitome of rajasic Spanda Shakti, you know, all these streams of people and noises, and that nonetheless that Spanda Shakti is there in that, in all of us, in every one of us. At that point, we start to be able to recognize that consciousness, Spanda, awareness, whose heart is pure spaciousness and joy, is transforming herself into moods, thoughts, perceptions, judgments, beliefs. And that when we forget that it's Spanda who's at the heart of them, then we get bamboozled by the streams of awareness of the gunas. But when we remember that all of it is arising and subsiding from that great source, then no matter how lost we get in our beliefs or our suffering or our issues, we're still present to the experience of the Spanda Shakti, to the experience of the self. We're going to turn back in to our process, to our practice. So you can find a process in which the breath begins to arrange your body so that the sits bones are grounded. The breath is moving. Your intention now is to begin to become aware of the presence of Spanda inside your own body-mind. So be present now. Be present to the felt sense of sensation inside the body. Recognize that your experience of your body, if you put aside the conceptual understanding that this is my body, if you really just tune into the body as sensation with your eyes closed, you can start to recognize that all you really know about your experience inside this body is sensation. You feel something, you sense sensation. There's a touch quality to this experience of being embodied. So there's the pressure of the body against the seat. Your sits bones or your back against the chair. There's the slightly more subtle touch that you could identify as the touch of your clothes or the touch of the air. But if you're just being present to it all as pure sensation, then in this moment, you're meditating on the felt experience of whatever comes into your awareness of body and breath as a felt sense. And see if you can notice how your experience of sensation, of, let's call it embodied sensation, is not one thing. It shifts as your attention shifts. And just ask yourself for a moment, in what does this experience of sensation arise? Where is it experienced? And as with all these questions, you're not looking for an intellectual answer. You're not trying to figure it out. You're asking the question and then noticing, let's call it the felt sense that arises in response. And you may perhaps begin to recognize that sensation is actually being held in, contained in, sensed by this subtle awareing or knowingness. And notice now the sounds that you're hearing, particularly the sound of my voice. And let your attention move from the experience of hearing a sound and the experience of feeling a sensation. You might focus on the sensation of your buttocks against the seat, and then focus on the sound of this voice. And notice where the experience of sound and the experience of the sensation of your buttocks is coming from. Where is it being held? It's not that the voice is coming. If you really notice it, it's not being experienced somewhere else. It's actually being experienced inside this field of vibrating knowingness that is your consciousness. So see if you can feel the sensation, say, in your buttocks or in your tummy. Sensations of inhabiting what we normally regard as my body, as well as the perception of sound, the sound of this voice. And recognize that both the sensation and the sound are held within this knowing presence, consciousness, awareness, spaciousness. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to just open your eyes a tiny bit so that you're just aware of something being seen, so that you bring the sense of sight into it. Now ask yourself, where is the experience of seeing whatever it is, the room or whatever is there? Where is that experience of seeing taking place? It's not taking place somewhere else. It's actually taking place inside this experience of knowingness. See if you can sense that, feel that. And of course, the thoughts that you're having, including the oppositional thoughts, if there are any, or the sweet sensations of energy currents. Where is that happening? It's happening inside this one presence, this one consciousness, this one awareness, which truly is the knowing field, which is not just the source, but really the heart of all experience. You can't experience sensation or sound or the so-called outside world or your own thoughts, except through this field of presence awareness. And within this field of presence of awareness, this field of knowingness, sight, sensation, sound come and go. But that presence never goes anywhere. So see if you can simply, you can close your eyes if you like. Simply be present to that presence, that knowing awareness, that never departing, always holding you spaciousness, within which all experience arises and subsides, and without which no experience would be possible. And see if you can notice how, as you remain present to the Spunda principle, which is that very consciousness within which experience is manifesting, whether in the form of sounds or sensations or thoughts, or what we normally see as the physical world, it doesn't seem to be inside us, but which is actually in this moment inside your awareness. as you discern the presence of the Spanda principle. Notice how when you recognize this room and this voice and all the sensations and thoughts as being intimately held within one single awareness, even if the experience is partial, you can start to have a recognition of what it is that the tantras tell us, which is that everything is contained within this one consciousness. And though you and I at this moment may have a limited experience of consciousness as simply including whatever we're holding in awareness at this moment, nonetheless, this principle of Spanda that we experience as our inner and outer world and which allows us to have all experience is not different from the great cosmic Spanda that is dancing in and out of manifestation and is as vast and as endless as the infinite universe is, and yet is as tiny as the heart of an atom, and which really is manifesting as you right now. So just for a moment, allow yourself to recognize that. To be present to that subtle suchness, that indescribable suchness that we describe with words like consciousness, awareness, presence, Spanda Shakti. Which is letting you and me experience life right now. So you're very welcome to experiment with opening your eyes and seeing if you can remain aware of the Spanda principle, even with your eyes open. And in the few moments we have left, if you have a question or something you'd like to say about what we've been talking about, this very subtle set of experiences, you can press star 2 and Deb will let you know that you're on the line. We're going to do it slightly differently this week. So if there's something you'd like to say, press star 2. Deb will see that your hand is raised and she will put you on the line. So
we got somebody from Eugene. I think it might be Wendy.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Sally. Thank you so much for today's lesson. And I just wanted to say that I came to it from a colonoscopy feeling really sad and sick and I couldn't feel anything. And then just through the course of listening to you, like, just feel part of so much, just the Spanda as sort of is everywhere. So I'm just wanting to express my gratitude. And the other thing that I just wanted to say is that for a really long time, whenever I was sad, I would listen to you chant probably, I don't know, 10,000 times on the Goddess CDs, this mantra that you're using, the Om Aim Reem Kleem Chalmandai Vichay Swaha. And any time I was ever troubled, especially when I was traveling, and things weren't happening, that chant would just come to me, and it was just such a deeply embedded part of all that goddess work that I did with you such a long time ago. And now doing it with this context, it's like all that it was times a million, because I didn't even know that I was tapping into this universal consciousness. I thought I was praying to, but it's the same. Anyway, whatever. It just feels like a revelation that I was doing it and I didn't even know that I was doing it. And now it's like that song, it feels like a song to me, just is rolling through me in meditation all the time. And so it's just really a great gift.
That's so beautiful, Wendy. And I'm so glad that the Spanda Shakti was able to kind of bring you back into the sense of yourself through this class, because of course that's what we're all here doing, is just really reminding ourselves that no matter what is going on or what mood we're in or what physical discomfort we're in, that she's always there.
Yeah, and the even more challenging was that I found out from this lawyer today, this stupid thing had been going on for such a long time, and I kept praying about it and acting like it wasn't anything, but today I found out it was actually maybe $100,000 something, and I was so depressed about it. I couldn't like feel anything. But then tonight when I was listening to you, it's like it's all just part of this thing that's expanding and contracting, and it just isn't anything more than that, you know? So that was such a huge relief to me. So
that's so beautiful.
I hope I can hold it. But at this moment, I'm feeling really deeply blessed and grateful. And to everybody, you know, the last thing I just want to say, and then I'll get off, is, you know, there's so many deep friendships in this group, people who seem to have known each other, like, for centuries. And it's really, even though I don't know any of those people personally, it's such an inclusive experience when people bear themselves so eloquently.
Yes, I know just what you mean. It's really the beautiful blessing of Sangam, and thank you.
Thank you, Sally. Thank you
for sharing that in just that spirit. I also want to say, before we hear someone else's question or sharing, that the thing is that expansion and contraction happens, it inevitably happens. And the question, okay, how is Spanda revealing herself in this moment? Just asking the question and finding new ways to ask the question, whether it's through, you know, whether it's recognizing that these particular mantras or another mantra have the power to bring you into alignment with Spanda, which is you know, an age-old, incredibly powerful way of opening up. It's really the intention that is going to allow you to surf the waves of the exciting, the depressing, the painful, the ecstatic, all the different layers of experience that we all, in the course of life, move through, good times, bad times, and everything in between. So thank you, Wendy. So we have another very short moment in which someone can speak if you're drawn to or feel something that wants to be expressed or questioned. And because it seems as though nobody does want to speak, I'll just say that you'll be getting a homework assignment. And also, yes.
Sally, we have someone that would like to speak. It's,
okay.
In New York City, maybe Lamond Aaron.
Aaron? Okay. Aaron, we've
unmuted you.
We've unmuted you. You can speak.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had myself here. Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to thank you, Sally, for your insights into the gunas, because it was my original post.
Yeah, it was your question.
Brought it up. Yeah. So I felt that really spoke to me.
Oh, that's great.
One experience that I had just tonight while we were doing the meditation practice on, I believe it was experiencing sensation, I had the experience of trying to keep my awareness in the sensation of my body, without having my presence like in my mind, because I feel like that's kind of what I tend to do, is like channel all of my energy up into my like mind center. So I had that experience, and I was noticing how, you know, like even as I would try to just be aware of my body, it would sort of drift, like almost like pulled by some sort of current into my mind, until it felt like my mind was expanding and encapsulating it.
Yeah.
So that the two were like merging. Like I wasn't able to separate them. And it happened sort of in a couple of like flashes, but it wasn't like it was like something like subtle and just very like short lived.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a flash. My senses, what you're describing, it's the recognition of mind, not thought, but the mind field itself as the container of both thought and sensation. So you actually were following the instructions that were being given to recognize what it is that's containing your whole field of experience, which mind is one of the words for. The thing is that the thing that emerges as you do this practice is that you begin to become aware that what we call mind, another name for it being, of course, consciousness or awareness or spanda shakti in the form of the knowing, sensing quality in awareness, it's actually much larger than the space inside your head that you usually call mind. It is, you know, it's able to hold the whole room. It's able to hold, you know, ultimately all of us. So in other words, what we used to call consciousness expansion back in the day is literally happening as you start to recognize that all of your experience is being contained in consciousness. They're not sensation, thought, perception, the so-called outside world are not different than the awareness that's experiencing them. So, thank you.
Thank you.
And I'd love to hear from all of you how this goes in the week to come as we unfold this practice of discerning spanda through mind, body, sensation, awareness. So, I will be sending you pretty much the gist of what I said on the gunas, and also some questions about the gunas that you can use as inquiry questions if you like, and as well as the meditation for this week and some of the contemplation practices. So our intention for the week to come, and hopefully our intention for the rest of our lives, is to discern the presence of spanda in every moment as much as possible, whenever you remember, through inquiry or through mantra or through tuning into the pulsation within the breath or the pulsation within your body or the pulsation that's expressing itself as the election cycle or as the throb of a backache, you know, and see if you can just start looking for the presence of the spanda, not only in your subtle experiences, but also in the experiences that seem, for want of a better word, extremely gross and unsubtle and physical. And notice even that the resistance and the distraction and all the things that normally take us out of our inquiry or take us out of our inner focus, that they also are aspects of spanda. And if we're asking the question, how can I discern the presence of the subtle spanda even in this, then you can start to see how all experience can take you back to the source. So have a wonderful week and, of course, a wonderful rest of your evening or rest of your day. I send you so much love. I'm so appreciative of this opportunity that we have to be together in this space. Namaste. Good night. Jai Ma. Jai Shiva Shakti. So much love.